testimony contained in that song. Just stop and think for a moment about the words. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. A lot of people can't understand how somebody could have tears coming down their cheeks and be happy. And if you're not a Christian, you won't understand that. But Jesus, whenever Jesus touches a person, there's always joy comes into that life. Not saying the circumstances always get better, not saying the trouble always leaves, but at the touch of Jesus' hands, joy comes. Something happened. And by the way, something always happens when Jesus touches you. When he touches your life, something always happens, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. You know what our sin-sick world needs today? We need for Jesus to touch us. You know what our discouraged world needs today? We need for Jesus to touch us. You know what our spiritually dead world needs today? We need for Jesus to touch us. But you know, let's quit talking about the world. Let's talk about us for a minute. You know what we need as individuals this morning? Those of you that are here that are sick of soul and sick of heart and sick of body. What you need this morning before you need anything else, and what you need more than you need anything else, is for Jesus to touch your life this morning. Those of you that are here and you're discouraged, and there's something happening in your life that you look to heaven and you ask God, why? I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do what's right. And yet you let this circumstance come into my life. You know what you need this morning? You need that for the hand of Jesus to reach down from heaven and to touch your life. And you that are here this morning, dead in your trespasses and sins, on your way to hell because you don't know Christ as your Savior. What you need more than you need anything else this morning is the touch of Jesus. This morning I want to speak on the subject, He touched me. He touched me. Father, thank you for letting us come to this moment. Thank you for your word. I pray now that you would hide me behind the cross of Christ. Help me to say the words that Jesus would say if he were here. And I know, Holy Spirit, I can't change hearts, but I know that you can. And I pray this morning for those that are here that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray today would be the day that they'd be born into the family of God. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Down through the ages, there's been countless testimonies from people who've had a life-changing experience when Jesus touched their lives. I want you to consider with me this morning a few of them. I want you to consider with me, first of all, the man whose story is told in Luke chapter 5. He was a leper. And leprosy is not around much today, but it was a disease where your skin, just sort of rotted away. And your body was open. And from that sore, and they spread all over your body, from those sores would run blood and pus and other bodily fluids. And what the lepers would do is they would take rags, and they'd have to wrap them around their hands and their sores and where all that stuff was running. And those rags would soak up the blood and the pus, and after they'd been there for a while, there was a terrible stench that began to build up from all those things dragging into those rags. Lepers had to move away from their family. This man did. He had to move away from his boyhood home. He had to move away from his family. He lost his job, lost his possessions, lost his reputation. He was an outcast. That was the law. The law said if you had the disease of leprosy, you had to move outside of town. You couldn't stay in the same house. You couldn't stay with your family. You couldn't stay with a society. You had to move out to the outskirts of town and live with other lepers. That was the only way they could keep the disease from spreading. So this man we find in Luke chapter 5, he'd lost the company of his friends. He no longer could savor the companionship of his wife. He no longer could take his little boy or his little girl and hold them in his arms. This disease of leprosy had robbed him of everything that was dear to him. There was no chance for a cure. You see, back in that day, they didn't have a cure for leprosy. They didn't have modern medicine. They didn't have doctors that knew what to do. The law said not only that you had to move out of town, but the law said that if you were out and about, and if perhaps you were walking down this way and somebody came towards you, what you had to do as a leper is you had to go over on the other side of the street, and you had to put a rag over your mouth like this. Boys, no, you guys sit down. Okay, sit right down. I don't want anybody else getting up. I'll be down just a little bit. But the law said that you had to cross over to the other side of the street, put a rag over your mouth, and you had to cry with a loud voice, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" And you had to do that for the rest of your life. I'm sure that this man often thought, what's the use? There's no cure. There's no hope. There's nothing that I can do. I'm sure he often thought, what's the use of continuing to live? What's the reason for my existence? Sooner or later, I'm going to live here in this leper colony for the rest of my life. And sooner or later, I'm going to die. And just like we've done to other lepers, I'm going to be laid in an unmarked grave. And nobody will know that I'm gone. One day, word came to that leper camp. And it spread like wildfire on dry grass. Word came about a man from Nazareth, a carpenter who turned teacher and preacher. Word spread through that camp that he could work miracles, that he could touch blind eyes and they could see, and he could touch lame limbs and they could be used again. And the most exciting word that came that day was that this Jesus, he could even cure leprosy. That was something they'd never heard about before. That was something that had never been reported about before. And that man, as he heard that story, his heart skipped a beat. And he said to himself, oh, if it could only be true. Oh, if it could only be. If it could only be that he could cure leprosy. That night that man went to sleep. And deep down in his heart, there was a little seed of hope. A little seed of faith that took root in his heart. Several days passed, several weeks. Other reports of this man called Jesus came to the camp. They'd heard how he turned some water into wine. They heard how he'd stood up on a boat in the middle of a storm and said, "Peace, be still!" And the wind quit blowing and the waves ceased their tumbling of the boat. They'd heard how he'd reasoned with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he sort of chuckled to himself. Boy, if anybody could reason with those old buzzards, he must be really something. And that little seed of hope and faith that took root in his heart began to grow a little bit. One day, the best news of all came to that leper camp. Jesus was coming to their city. He'd be there in the next few days. And this man thought, if only he could heal me. If only I'd have a chance to meet him. If only the stories about him, if they were only true, if I could only be healed, I could go back home again. I could be a husband to my wife again. I could be a father to my children again. I could get my job back and provide for them. I could be back again with my friends. Oh, Jesus, if it could only be true. The day that Jesus was supposed to come, he got up early. He took the rags that were on his sores and he threw them in the dust and got new ones and put on his sores to keep the blood and the pus from running out. And he started out of the camp earlier than anybody else. He passed a couple people on the street, and as the law commanded, he passed over to the other side, put that rag over his mouth and said, "Unclean! Unclean! Stay away! Unclean!" Then he looked down the road. He saw a solitary figure. Just another man? No. There was something in his soul and in his spirit that said that the man that he saw in the distance was like no other man that he'd ever met before. Listen to how the Bible describes it. "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' That little seed of hope, that little seed of faith that was planted in his heart weeks ago had grown. And now there he was. He was down on his knees in front of the Master. And he said, Jesus, I believe it. I believe what I've heard about you. I believe that you can touch my body and you can heal it and you can cure it. And I can go home again. And I can be a daddy again. And I can be a husband again. And I can be a friend again. Jesus, I believe in my heart that if you wanted to, you could cure me. Jesus looked down at that man and he said this, I will. Be thou clean. And the Bible says, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. Can't you just see that man? He tore those rags off his hands. And that place where there was a sore before, now it's like baby skin, soft, and pure, and clean. Those parts of his body that were in pain just a few moments ago now felt no pain. They were whole. I can see him as he thinks to himself, I can go home. I can go see my wife. I can go see my kids. I can become a part of the community again. And can't you just hear him? Maybe the words hadn't even been written yet, Brother Wendell. But I can hear him as his spirit thinks, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me. And he made me whole. My dear friend, you're here today. You have a sick heart, or a sick soul, or a sick body. Jesus is the same today as he was back then. A touch of his hand can heal you. A touch of his hand can drive that disease away, can drive that heart sickness away, can drive that soul sickness away. Let him touch you this morning. His touch is a healing touch. A healing touch. Oh, but wait a minute. It's not only that, it's something else. The touch of Jesus is an uplifting touch. Remember old Peter? Peter was a fisherman. He was one of the 12 disciples. He was the one that was always mentioned first in the Bible when they listed the 12 disciples. Peter was he was often outspoken. He was often rushing headlong into things before he thought about them. He told Jesus on the night of his crucifixion, I'll die for you, Jesus. And a few hours later, he denied him. He told Jesus, I'll stay with you forever. And I'll serve you forever. A few days later, the Bible says he went back to fishing. Sounds like a lot of us, doesn't he? We make promises to God and then we break them, turn our back on him. In Matthew chapter 14, Peter and the other disciples were in a ship. Middle of the lake. And a storm came up in that lake. And the wind was blowing and the waves were crashing. And the disciples thought, this is it. I mean, we're done for. This boat's going to sink. We're going to drown. It was early in the morning. And one of the disciples looked over the rail of the ship and said, look at that. What's that? What's that? And they looked out and they saw somebody walking to them on the water. Now, this was something they hadn't seen every day. In fact, this is the first time they'd ever seen it. And the Bible said, and I'll just put it in English so you can understand it, they were scared. They were scared. They'd never seen anything like this. They were scared. Who was it? It was Jesus. He said, be of good cheer. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. It's I. And here's old Peter. He's in the boat. I don't think he thought very much about this at all. He said, Jesus, if it really be you, would you let me walk on the water and come to you? Jesus said, sure, Peter. Come on. Come on. You that know the story, you know what happened. Peter got out of the boat. He got down on that water and he started walking toward Jesus. And listen to what the Bible says. But when he saw the wind boisterous and he saw the waves crashing, the Bible said he was afraid and began to sink and he cried. Yeah, Peter was a lot like us. We set out to serve God. We set out to do what's right. And then the circumstances of life come crashing in on us. The storms of life come crashing in on us. Sickness comes and financial problems come and relationship problems come and children problems come and family problems come. And we who started out in great faith, We who started out serving God begin to sink in the storms of life. And I know some of you are here this morning, you're sinking in the storms of life. Some of you are up to your knees. Some of you are up to your waist. Some of you are up to your shoulders. And some of you are already in over your head. But and you're saying this morning, there's no way out. There's no way I can fix what's wrong in my life. There's no way I can solve it. I cannot see what to do. Well, you need to do the same thing that Peter did that day. That verse says, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried saying, Lord, save me! Save me! And the Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but it says to me, Peter was on his way down. And Jesus reached down and caught him before he went all the way under. And said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know why you're discouraged this morning and you think there's no way that your problem can be solved? Because your faith is little. You know why you're not seeing victory in your life this morning over that storm that God has allowed to come into your life? Because you have doubt. You have doubt. Listen to Peter. He touched me. He would say it like this. He caught me. He caught me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Some of you are here this morning, and you need something to happen in your life. You need something to happen. You need something to happen in your marriage. You need something to happen in your home. You need something to happen in a friendship that's been broken. What you need is the Master's touch. You need for Jesus to touch you. Let Him touch you this morning. Let Him touch you. His touch is a healing touch. His touch is an uplifting touch. And then finally, His touch is a life-giving touch. A life-giving touch. Walt read us a Bible passage a moment ago. It talks about a man named Jairus who came to see Jesus one day. He came to Jesus and he said, Master, I have a little girl. And those of you that have daughters will be able to identify with this dad. He said, Master, I have a little girl. She's my life. I love her more than anything else I have in my life. She's my life. The Bible says that he got on his knees before Jesus. He said, Jesus, doctors tried everything they wanted. They'd given her every bit of medicine they'd known to give her. But Jesus couldn't help. Jairus looked up into the most compassionate face that he'd ever seen. And he said, Jesus, she died a few minutes ago. He said, I know that if you would come, you would just put your hand on her. You could just. My dear friend, this wasn't a little faith. This wasn't a little faith. This was faith that came from a dad's heart, a big faith in a big doubt. And Jesus says, all right, Jairus, lead the way. I'll go home with you. They started on the way to Jairus' house. They were delayed for a little bit. The Bible tells a story, right? And it's in those verses we didn't read a moment ago. The Bible says there was a woman who had a sickness. She'd had it for 12 years. And nothing the doctors could do could help her. And she had a big faith and a big God too. She said, if I could only get close enough to Jesus, and if I could only touch the hem of His garment, I know that I would be healed. Well, she got close enough. She did touch the hem of His garment. And she was healed. Jesus stopped and He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Then Jairus leads the way. They go to his house. As Walt read a minute ago, there were people in that house that were crying and weeping and mourning. And Jesus said, "What's a fuss? What are you so sad about? She's not dead. She's just sleeping." And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. You know, that's what the world always does to Christ. The world doesn't understand the power that we have with our God. They don't understand what Jesus can do in a person's life. Let them laugh. Jesus said, "Go ahead and laugh, but get out of here. We got business to take care of. Go on, get out." And he kicked everybody else out of the room except for Peter, James, and John, and Jairus and Jairus' wife, and that little girl. The Bible says, and we read it a moment ago, Jesus went in, he took her by the hand, and the maid arose. She came back to life. At the touch of the Master's hand, that heart that had quit beating began to beat once again. Those veins that had no longer ceased to let blood go through them, once again coursed with blood flowing through her body. Those lungs that had quit pumping began to pump once again. That body that had started to grow cold grew warm once again. At the touch of Jesus' hand, that little girl that was dead came back to life and lived again. Don't you know that little girl could say the song, the words of the song that Brother Wendell sang a moment ago? "Oh, he touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was headed for the grave, but now I live again. Something happened. And now I know he touched me. And he made me whole." This morning, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. The Bible says that you have no hope for heaven. The Bible describes you spiritually as a being with no life. There's no spiritual heart that beats in your body. There's no spiritual lungs that breathe in your body. And if you died right now outside of Christ, you go to hell and you live apart from God forever and ever and ever. And my dear friend, I want to make it just as plain, as simple as I know how to make it. The only hope that you have this morning for spiritual life is to get a touch from the Master's hand. You have no other hope. Joining a church will not make you right with God. Turning over a new leaf will not make you right with God. Getting baptized will not make you right with God. Taking communion will not make you right with God. Confessing your sins will not make you right with God. The only hope that you have this morning for heaven is for that nail-scarred hand to reach down and to touch your life. That hand that hung on the cross and died there for you, paying for your sins. And that one that who had none of his own sins, but as he went to the cross, he bore our sins and he died to pay for them, to make us right with God. And he says to you this morning, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." If you'll do that this morning, the Bible says, whoever comes to him, he'll not turn away. You say, "Oh, Brother Darrell, you don't know me. You don't know the kind of sin that I've committed. You don't know the kind of life that I've lived." Doesn't make any difference. Not to Jesus. Because when he died on the cross, he took every single one of your sins upon himself. And they're paid in full. And if you'll come this morning and just let him touch you, then you'll be able to sing like the leper, and like Peter, and like that little girl that he raised from the dead, and like Brother Wendell did a moment ago. "Oh, he touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy. Joy. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't stand accountable for my sins anymore. I'm one of God's kids. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened." And something can happen in your life this morning. You walked in a dead person spiritually. You can walk out alive. You walked in headed for hell. You can walk out headed for heaven. You walked in with a life that was void of joy and purpose and peace. You can walk out in a few moments with a life full of joy and purpose and peace. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and he made me whole. Father, I pray this morning for those here that have never felt the touch of the Master's hand. They've never known what it is to come to you and admit they're a sinner headed for hell. They've never known what it is to come and fall on their knees before you and say, "Dear Jesus, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell." But say, "Oh, but dear Jesus, I believe." Just like the leper believed that he could be cured. "I believe. And when you went to the cross, you were paying for my sins."